Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor. And for those of you that I'm not your pastor, I want to be your pastor. And we're reading through the Bible, and we're in the 1 Samuel now, chapter 2. There are 36 verses in this chapter. And this particular chapter has to do, the first part of it, where Hannah is rejoicing before the Lord. And that's one of the things that I always do, because there's no person that can really have or be dressed for eternity if they don't praise and thank the Lord throughout the day, every day. There's so much to praise and thank Him for in my life. I know that every day I look forward to something exciting and new that the Lord is going to do. And I know that God is a miracle-working God, and that anything is apt to happen during the day or night. And I know also, because I've read the parable of the 10 virgins, that when the Lord comes, I want to be filled full of His Spirit. Because I just... And I know that when I have the joy and I have the expectancy of the things that the Lord is going to do during the day, and I see the miracles, like I'm sure that whenever I pray for somebody that they're going to be healed. And that to me is a very big miracle in itself. And when I pray for things to happen, I know that they're going to happen. And when I pray, ask the Lord questions, He gives me the answers. And it's a marvelous thing. I'm dressing for eternity. I don't want to be like Peter. Jesus, in the 8th chapter of the book of Mark, verse 23, rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee hence, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of men." That's where the problem is with most people today that call themselves Christians, is they're so busy going about doing the things that ordinary men do, and they never expect any fantastic, miraculous miracles from God. There isn't any expectancy in them in regard to something wonderful is going to happen. Or that even if they go through the valley of the shadow of death, they shall fear no evil, for they know that the Lord is with them. Because they're full of joy and happiness, because they know that they're speaking to the Lord, and the Lord is speaking to them. And they know that they have on the garments of the Lord, the garment of righteousness, so that they're at peace, knowing that in the event that the breath goes out of their bodies, that they're dressed for eternity, fully dressed, and that they're not going to be thrown out of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there's a scripture here from the book of Matthew. It's chapter 22, verse 8, and I want Sharon to read that now. And we'll do a little expounding on it, because... you know, Peter wasn't even born again, and that's why I doubt the salvation of so many people when I see them with a morbid look on their faces. They're in a church, but there's no expectancy of any miraculous thing. They really don't believe in God and His miracles, and so therefore they never praise and thank Him, and they're without the garment of the Spirit, which if the breath goes out of their body, they're not dressed for eternity. You never see them praying for anyone, and when they do, the devil doesn't even know anything about it. Either does heaven. When I pray for somebody, the devil knows it. Hell knows that I'm praying for somebody, and that's why I've been through a lot of persecution, and I love that sort of thing, because I know that the devil hates me, and the feelings are mutual. But let's listen to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 8. And we'll go through verse 13.
Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not.
Okay, now this is he being God, because, you know, we have to explain who we're talking about here, because we're starting out in verse 8. Let's go up to verse 7 so that...
But when the king heard thereof...
The king being Jesus. Okay, then what?
He was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
8. Then saith he to his servants...
Then said Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, to his servants. Okay, then what?
The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy.
They weren't worthy because they didn't make themselves ready. They were like Esau. They didn't think it was worth anything while they were living to get themselves ready. They didn't think that the wedding, the marriage wedding of the Lamb, big deal. They would rather, you know, just talk and gab to each other during the day, and they never even give one thought of the Lord Jesus Christ or any miracles. To them, it's just like boring to them. Many of them in the churches are thinking of lesbianism and thinking of sexual satisfaction for themselves. Women with women or women with men or anybody that's willing to have sexual relationships with them. They are filthy rags is what they're wearing, and they themselves, their entire soul is filthy. They're not dressing for eternity. Eternity is a joke to them. It's like a comic book. There's no joy. There's no power in them to pray for someone to see them healed. Hell doesn't tremble when they come on the scene. And the Lord never hears from them. And they doubt. It's just doubtful that they ever even think of the Lord at all. Okay, then go ahead.
9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find.
Yeah, so a lot of people, see, they're not making themselves ready for this incredible event that is going to happen soon. And most people don't realize that it's going to happen maybe tonight for you, or maybe in the morning, just before you thought you were going to get up. Okay? And you've never done one blessed thing for the Lord in your life. You've never done one blessed thing for the Lord. You doubted him all the way. You doubted that he, you know, the Bible states that when the Spirit of the Lord enters into us, that we have the power then to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to pray for one another for every kind of sickness and infirmities, to be an intercessory prayer warrior for our loved ones and for the loved ones of others. In other words, we're to take the burden of other people on our backs. We're to carry people to the throne on our backs and take them there to the Lord and pray for them that are sick, ailing, those that are poverty-stricken, to help them in every single way. The people that call themselves Christians don't do one blessed thing for the Lord. And then they wonder why they don't have any power. Some people pray for they say, I prayed 15 years for my dad and my mother or this person or that person. And they're just waiting on God. No, God don't need anybody to wait for him. The Lord's waiting on you. You don't have the garments of righteousness on you. There's no power of God in you. You don't even believe God can do those things, and therefore you never ask for them. You get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things of God. But what you do is you savor the things of men. That's all you think about, is you just consider yourself just one of the world, and that there's nothing that God could ever do with you. You doubt that God is able to do something in your vessel, and therefore you never attempt to dress yourself for eternity. Okay, now let's read the statement before that again. They didn't make themselves ready.
Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy.
Well, yeah, and the Lord bids the whole world and the church to come. The Spirit says, come. Amen?
Amen.
And the bride, the real bride of Christ, they're out there witnessing too. They're saying, come on, you people, come on, get the wedding garments on. We're bidding them to come on. But then they got these real, you know, blasé, boring looks on their faces. And they don't come. They don't believe. They don't believe that God is able to do something through them. And therefore, the whole world has been taken over by the devil. They never pray, and so therefore there's no power in them. And they never rejoice or look for the miracles of God. And if it happens, they say, praise the Lord. And then it's getting to the point, you know, where when there is a miraculous healing, they just go, okay, that's great, you know, just nothing. They just think, well, it was probably maybe power over mind, over matter, or something like that, rather than the true power of God. And so the Spirit is bidding people to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the bride is saying, come on to the marriage supper of the Lamb, come on to heaven, but you don't dress yourself for it. Your mind is a scumbag, a scum bucket, and your heart is a scumbag and a scum bucket, and that's all you feel that you are. But the Bible, God wants you to know that you're a human being and that he died for you and that he wants to live in you and that he wants to give you the power to do the things that he has called you and chosen you to do. But yet you don't come. You won't pray. And that intercessory prayer is the most important ministry on the face of this earth. So many people want to be ministers or pastors or teachers or preachers or prophets, but nobody wants to be an intercessory prayer warrior. And if you're not an intercessory prayer warrior, there's no possible way that you can be dressed for eternity. And of course, you could never be a minister of the gospel in any, or a teacher or a preacher or an evangelist. You couldn't. And there are a lot of people that are very wordsy. They have all kinds of words, but there's no power in their words. They'll tell you what they did during the day and so on and so forth as though that were the gospel. And they'll talk of certain miracles that have happened. At least they believe in miracles. But we, the people of the Lord, are supposed to be bidding, along with the Spirit, people to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the way that they do that is like the five wise virgins that dress themselves. They keep their lamps trimmed. They keep the Spirit of the Lord flowing through them, and they're anticipating the Master's coming. They're anticipating the Master's miracles. They're anticipating the different things that God does all day long. If they're praying for somebody, they know that the person's going to be healed. They know that the dead is going to be raised. They know the demons are going to be cast out. It's not a matter of that. I just love it when people say, come on and pray for me. Or, you know, there's somebody that's possessed, bring him in. Because I'm not afraid to bump into the devil. Because if the devil bumps into me, he is going to be in a lot of trouble, because hell knows when I pray and when I bump into it. Okay? I've snatched a lot of souls right out of the pits of hell. And, you know, that's what my job is, and that's what everybody's job is to do. And everybody likes to maybe glory in somebody that does that, but remember that if you're going to be in eternity, you have to be dressed for it. So continue on. Read that statement again.
Then saith he to his servants.
That Jesus says to his servants, what?
The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy.
Yeah, God wants to be married to you. He doesn't care 2 cents if you're married to some female or if you're married to some man. The Lord, a lot of people are living, they're in bed with some unsaved guy, and some men are in bed with some unsaved woman. And the Lord doesn't, well, he wants you to tell him to get up and out of that bed, and he wants to be your husband, and he wants to sleep with you. Amen?
Amen.
He wants. He doesn't want you to be your boyfriend. He wants to be your husband. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to be your friend, your husband, the bridegroom. And that's what he's saying. If I'm your husband, then sleep with me, eat with me, be with me all day long. Let me be in you all the time. Let me be with you all the time. Talk to me during the day. And I'm your husband. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Otherwise, you're not dressing for eternity. Does that make sense? That's exactly the way it is. Now, people that do that, then, and also rejoice with me, and be happy with me, and praise me during the day for the things that that I can do through you. If I tell you there's, or somebody comes and asks you to pray for them, that they have demons, thank and praise me and give glory unto me by doing what I told you to do. Lay your hands on them and pray for them and cast the devils. Let me cast the devils out of them. Amen. And have faith that that's going to happen so that hell can cringe and heaven can rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So that's the only way we have to be married to the Lord. We have to rejoice with him. We have to walk with him and talk with him and sleep with him and eat with him and everything we do with him. But so few people have prepared themselves. This is one of the most foreign messages that there could ever be today, because they just think, well, as long as we go to church and we read, or we tolerate a message, we tolerate each other. No, if I had a wife that was just tolerating me, I don't want her, okay? She's not my wife, because I don't want to tolerate her. Amen?
Amen.
Or she thinks it's some big deal because she's, tolerating me. Who needs anybody like that, that thinks they're so hot that, they're doing you a favor or something to be with you? And that's what the way people are treating Jesus is like. Oh, if we pray, then we really did something for Jesus. No, when you're praying, what you're doing is dressing yourself for eternity for the wedding marriage supper of the Lamb. And otherwise, all you're doing is just savoring the things that are not of God, but you're just savoring the things of the rest of the world, of men. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and read the rest of this and see what happens to people that savor the things of men and don't make themselves ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Go ye therefore into the highways.
Go and get the bums. Go down to Skid Row, go into the highway and hedges, because there's a lot of people sitting in church that are self-righteous. And the Bible says that a common harlot, the woman down in the whorehouse district, the bum, the pimp, those kind of people are the ones that the Lord came to save. The self-righteous people that sit in the church and never do anything for God, but just raise their eyebrows occasionally, and they have the same boring face all the time, and they never praise the Lord. They never pray for anybody. They just think people are supposed to pray for them because they say, well, that's the pastor's job. But God, that isn't Bible. Is that Bible? I mean, it says that all the disciples went out and did that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so if you've never done that, well, then you're not even a Christian. How do you think God is going to take you into the marriage supper of the Lamb? You're going to go in there and you're dressed in blue jeans and a t-shirt and your stinky tennis shoes. And say, why are you not dressed in white linen? Why have you not prepared yourself for this marriage supper of the Lamb? Okay, keep going.
Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.
Yeah, just anyway, ask them to come. The people that are not righteous, the ones that are real bad, they know they're sinners and they're going to repent. They say, my God, you mean to say God is calling a bum like me? Somebody that's thankful for being saved.
Amen.
You know, there's people that are wretched that lived in trailer houses and just shotgun shacks all their life. And they get called into the ministry, and they think that they're really doing God a favor, and they're not even thankful even one day of their life. They're not. And then there's a people that are very wealthy to this figure. They don't need Christ. We go to church, we read the Bible, and we pray. I know the kind of praying they do. It isn't a prayer that could cast out devils. It's not any prayer. They have no power in them to raise the dead or to heal, lay hands on people. They don't have faith in the Lord at all. They're not dressed for eternity. They cast out demons. They themselves are possessed with them. And Satan will not cast out Satan. Okay, so he's saying, go out to the highways and hedges and get somebody that's going to be thankful. Just grab anybody that'll be thankful and do what they're supposed to do in order to have the power of God, the garments of righteousness on them, to be able to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what I love about 1 Samuel here, this Hannah. This chapter starts out, chapter 2, where she's just praising and thanking the Lord because she had a barren womb, and here she had a son. And that son was... to her, that was an incredible miracle, you know? Some people, nothing is a miracle to them. Some people, I don't care what you do. If you put them out on the streets or take them in off the streets, all they can see is dung. If you put them in Taj Mahal, all they can see is dung. You put them in the palace, anywhere is dung. And you put them on the streets, everything is dung. Because they're dung. They really are. It's like chaff, dung, waste matter. And there's nothing that is different to them. Everything is just dung or garbage to them. There's no big deal if God makes a miracle. Salvation is no big deal to them, no miracle. Getting healed betimes is no big miracle to them. It happens, and then they weep, and then they just, go on. Then they go right back to the things that they savor of men. They're garbage, is what the Bible says, that they're a chaff. Amen?
Yeah.
And in their carnal minds, they sat there and surmise and look at you as though, hey, what's with you? No, what's with you? What's with you? We know what you are. Okay? Now, let's see what the Lord does with these kind of people.
Verse 10. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together.
The servants. Yeah. You ever go out the highway and witness and testify? You're not a servant of the Lord then. Okay? So the servants went out where?
Into the highways. And gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment.
Yeah, never prepared himself. He just thought, well, it's dung. You know, everything on earth was dung. Everything up here is dung, too. I can go there with my tennis shoes and... and my sneakers and a t-shirt and just is a sinner. You have to not be a sinner anymore. Some people say, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, the Bible says that when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he washes you from all your sins and he enters into you and you become a son of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so you're no longer a sinner, but you're a son of God. There's the difference between night and day, between a sinner and the Son of God. Amen?
Amen?
Son of God. Okay, go ahead. And you're dressed already for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then you have to continue doing the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. He gives us the power to do all these different things. And then if you don't use the power, then it's as though he gave you something and you don't use it. It's like if... your dad gave you a car, and you never drove it before. Or he gave you anything, like a pair of shoes, and you just walk barefoot for the rest of your life. But the Lord gives us all the power immediately, and the portion of faith, and he provides healing, And he provides power for you to heal people. He in you will heal people. And he wants you to pray and to rejoice in that you have this power. He wants you to rejoice in so much as that you have eternal life and that you have healing. And he wants you to rejoice because you and be thankful that you have victory. And rejoice and be thankful that you have that you're more than a conqueror and that you have prosperity and that whatsoever you ask in his name that he gives it to you and that you're got the garments of righteousness and you're qualified to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb and not be thrown out. Now that's a lot to rejoice for, and that's just a few of the things. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead. This is a great scripture here. I love this. Go ahead.
12. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?
Yeah, how is it that with all this power and glory that I gave you, that you didn't use anything? You're like the guy, you took the talent and buried it in the ground. You didn't use anything. You didn't use the Spirit. You just let the lamp go out. And then you expect to come in here? You funny little monkey, you. Then what?
And he was speechless.
Yeah. What are you going to say? You're going to make an excuse to God? No, your whole life was an excuse. You thought that excuses could get you into the kingdom of heaven, and you're lost. Then what?
Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14, For many are called, but few are chosen.
You know, for many of people have been called into the ministry. He calls the whole world. He says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So everybody got the Spirit of God poured out on them. And the ministers pour it out too through the Word. Like I'm pouring, God is pouring out his Spirit on you through the words that I'm speaking right now, because his Word is Spirit and it's life. And he says, so he's calling a lot of people, but you have chosen not to be in the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, you haven't chosen him, and so he rejects you. You're not chosen. Many are called, but just only the few of us that really do what he says and believe that we have that power. We're the chosen ones, and you people are not chosen, that choose not to believe the Lord. It doesn't make any difference if you get angry about that, because God loves to send those people that get angry with him into the fiery bowels of hell and into the lake of fire. Get angry, you stupid goose, you. You toad. All right? Now, go and read chapter, the one in Mark.
Chapter 8, verse 33.
Right.
But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men.
Now, after Peter, see, Peter was not converted. The Lord told him, after you're converted. Amen?
Amen.
So he wasn't converted. He denied the Lord three times. But when he saw the Lord raised from the dead and do all the things that he did and then ascend up into the kingdom of heaven right before his very eyes, and then he received the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then he became dressed for the wedding supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he was able to attend. But he, when these things happen to you, you are so overjoyed because you, a lot of people never come to the end of themselves. There is a time in a person's life that you have to come to your end, and that's and let God take over from there, okay? You have to die, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Die out to your flesh in order to enter into the kingdom of God. We have to come to the end of ourselves and let God take ourselves over. And then when we do that, then it's no longer you. We have to step out of the way and then let God carry us into the kingdom of God. And let's listen now to what Hannah has to say. Chapter 2, 1 Samuel 36, verses with translation and commentary. Verse 1. Okay, go ahead, read the header.
Hannah's prayer of praising the Lord.
If you don't pray, if you're not an intercessory prayer warrior, if you don't pray for the people of the world that's in here, that's sinners, you're not going to make it in, because the prayer is where you get the power, the strength, and the communion with the Lord. You're not asking Him for anything, and therefore you're not going to get anything, because we only receive from the Lord when we ask. Ask, and you shall receive. So not only do you say, well, I don't really have anything to pray for, you self-centered, nothing you. There, look at all the people around in this world that need prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Talk to the Lord all day long. Let Him talk to you. If He's your husband, fine. Forget about that deadbeat that's laying in bed with you. Kick him out. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, right? And sleep with the Lord and walk with Him. Amen?
Amen.
You're married to the Lord if you're really going to the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, forget that prostitute wife of yours. Amen?
Amen.
Kick her out of bed. Let the Lord sleep with you. Amen?
Amen?
Eat with you. Rejoice with you. Go with you wherever you go. Let Him tell you where to go and what to do and what not to do. You don't need some deadbeat or hooker for your wife or your husband. You're deadbeat for your husband. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord wants to be married to you in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We're supposed to be spiritual beings. You are a spiritual being. Be like one. Amen?
Amen.
Be spiritual. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Pray for others. Carry them up to the throne on your back with the Holy Spirit pulling you up with them. And pray for your loved ones. God, you say, well, I'm waiting on God. You dingbat, God's waiting on you. Okay, get dressed. Amen. Get up and get dressed. God's not making anybody wait. You're making God wait. He doesn't like it, all right? Get up and go. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, then what? Okay, let's listen to Hannah rejoice here.
King James Version.
Listen to her pray. Hallelujah!
Amen.
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 Go ahead.
Verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord.
Yeah, why? Why? Because she was so bummed out that she didn't have any, the baby, you know? And this other woman that her husband was married to is having all the babies. Amen?
Amen.
And in the Old Testament, it was like a person was to be thought of as a sinful person if they weren't able to have bare children. And it really grieved women back then because it was a put down. Big time put down. Amen?
Amen.
And so when she became pregnant and she had this son, oh, she rejoiced. The reproach of this woman that was mocking her, the other woman, her husband's other wife, was just like lording it over her. And here she now has a child, and she said she was going to vow, she vowed to give him to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And she did it, you know. She was a real woman of God. She didn't say things and then not do it. When she said something, she did it. She wasn't like double-tongued, forked-tongued. She was a real woman of God. Then what?
My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee.
Right, and so you should be married to him. Amen?
Amen.
But I want somebody to stroke my flesh.
Well, then you're a fleshy person. You savor the things of men and not the things of the spiritual realm. Okay? So that's what you're going to wind up with. You're going to be chaff. You're chaff now, and you'll always be unless you become spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God.
No, there's nobody like him, and so why look around? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
Verse 3.
And there's nobody like somebody that is a member of the Lord's body that really is one, you know, on a 24-hour, everyday basis. They're rejoicing in the Lord. They find happiness in the Lord. Amen? There's no happiness anywhere else. If you think back in your life, when have you ever known happiness? Until you got saved.
Amen.
And some people claim they're saved, but they don't have happiness. It's because they're self-centered, and they're full of excuses, and they savor the things of the world, of the things of men. They're no different than people in the world. They lie just like the people of the world. They make up excuses just like the people of the world. They're deadbeats just like the people of the world. They don't really savor the things of God. It's not in them. Because there's no... You know, they've been pampered all their life. They've been... Usually you find that in a bunch of young people. Because they've never been through any trials or tribulations. Everything was just given to them on a silver platter. And it's just... everything was just fun to them. And... But it's not going to be fun to not be dressed at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because you're going to be cast down into hell in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Right.
So you got to take this seriously. This is the Word of God. This isn't coming from me. It's the Word of God. Then what?
Verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth.
Yeah, let not, don't be favoring the things of men. Amen?
Amen.
Don't think anything's better than God. Because you sing something like that, you're crazy. Okay? Make up excuses why you're not serving the Lord. There's no excuse. You have to make yourself, discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. In other words, to be dressed by the Holy Spirit with righteousness. The garments of righteousness, to be dressed in white, not one lie on your tongue, total obedience to the Lord himself. If you are married and you've got a good husband, then you're to obey him, okay? And that the man is supposed to love the wife, amen?
Yeah.
But if the man keeps trying to love the wife, and then she just is like a bitter witch. Well, then get married to the Lord and just stay away from her. Kick her out of bed. Amen?
Yeah.
And if she's a whoremonger or something, she lusts after the... Kick her out of the house. Show her who you really love. Not her, the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Show her who's really worthy of your love, your affection, your attention, your praise, and your happiness, your joy. That's where it all comes from. Amen?
Amen?
Then God will bless you. Put anything before you, the Lord, and that'll be your idol. And most people put themselves before the Lord. They worship themselves. Isn't that incredible? I wish they'd look in the mirror and see who they're worshiping. God, my God. Some of these toads. Amen?
Yeah.
Frogs. Then what?
For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed.
Yeah, you got to have the right actions. You got to start dressing up for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
In the world here is the dressing shop. This is the dressing. This is time here that you're given in this earth to dress up for eternity. Put on the garments of righteousness. In other words, use the power God gave you. Start becoming active, because he's a man of action. He can't be active in a body that sits there like a mannequin. You know, I was thinking about the things that men think of. You can't work in somebody that's totally earthly, earthy, self-centered, self-willed, wanton. Not wonton, that's a soup at the Chinese restaurant, but wonton, wanton, not wonton. Okay, then what?
Verse 4. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength.
Yeah, see, she stumbled, but she was girded with strength because she received. She got up to the throne of the Lord because she was really vexed. And she wasn't kidding when she was calling out to the Lord. Any more than I have been many times in my Christian life. I mean, I had to have a move from God. I had to have an answer from Him. And the Lord gave it to me. I'm very satisfied with the Lord. Completely satisfied with Him. There isn't anything too much to do for the Lord. I mean, it's just there's whatever He tells you to do, do it quickly. Amen?
Amen.
He's the only one that is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 5. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased.
Yeah. So in other words, if you're hungry, if you do what the Lord says, you will never be hungry. Amen?
Amen?
And you will never thirst. But those that are full, they always get hungry. You know, they're full of their own ways. Then what?
They that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble.
Yep. Then keep going.
Verse 6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up.
See, and the Lord gives us that power too. But it's His power in us that does that. And if you're not going to let Him use you that way, then what you're doing is burying the power that He gave you in the earth. And it's in earth right now. You're an earthen vessel. And He goes about in earthen vessels, but He doesn't want you to sit dormant. There's no way that you can know what the Lord wants you to do if you're not thinking about Him and praying to Him. You have to communicate with Him in order for you to know what He wants you to do. But if you're so unconcerned as to what He wants to do in you that you never ask Him, then you haven't even put on one stocking for the kingdom of God or a glove. You might have put on a thumb piece, okay, a thimble at one time. It's off. It fell on the ground a long time ago. Get ready, because the Lord is coming back. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 7, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth.
Yeah, He does that. Now, you could be poor all the time, but if you do it, let the Lord dress you up, you dress up with the Lord, then you're going to be rich. Not just money-wise, but spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
He bringeth low and lifteth up.
Yeah, those that just don't pay any attention to what He says, they're brought down low. And the ones that just, I mean, I don't care how broke they are, He'll bring them up and set them on the high mountain. Man, I was nothing in this world before. And the Lord set me over the nations. He surely has. Okay? And I know when people look at me and say, "Who makest thyself to be?" I didn't make myself to be anything. The Lord makes me this way. Anyone that says that I'm not over the nations, then you're blind and you can't see. Amen?
Yeah.
I minister to the nations.
Yeah.
Amen? And it's the Lord through me. I'm worthless without Him. I can't do anything without Him at all. I'm not at all puffed up about that. I'm just happy. Okay? I got that happy, happy, happy feeling. Doot-doot-doot-doo. Okay? Anybody that thinks that I'm not over the nations, you must be dead or sleeping, you know? Everyone I run into on the street, they may not know who I am, but they say, do you ever get one of these? Oh, I get these on my car all the time. Everyone gets them, amen?
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, they're straight from the Lord. And then I said, they say, "You're him?" He asked them. All right, then what?
Verse 8.
That isn't it. It's the power that I've, you know, writing something is right, that the Lord gives you, is just you just laying down what the Lord is dictating to you, right? But, you know, the thing, when you're walking in the Spirit and you know what to do every minute of the day, or every minute that you're communicating, you know what to do. A lot of times I'll want to go downtown or do something. The Lord says, no, stay home. And so I do, and I'm really glad that I did, because there was something good that he wanted me to do. He wanted me to maybe bring a message, and I wouldn't have had the energy to do it if I would have went to the city to do something down there that I thought was important, like looking at some different houses that we just traded for. The houses are not important as doing a message for the Lord, amen? Because the houses, when I went back, when he said to go back, they were still there. Amen?
Yeah.
And we still got them. All right, then what?
Verse 8, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them.
Right, so right there tells you of all the things that the Lord does for people.
Verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness.
So it pays to be a saint. It pays to be dressed in the garments of righteousness, because, you know, if you say, well, I want to go downtown, and though you feel the Lord say no, and then you go out on the highway there, and you get smashed and smeared all over the highway, and the Lord doesn't need you anyway. You say, well, I backslid for a few minutes. I just didn't do it. Yeah, but your life is over then. And then your judge is disobedient, a witch, and he doesn't let witches in heaven. So that's why it's so important to stay in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Staying in the Spirit means dressed in righteousness, giving you the right to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb and stay in heaven. Otherwise, you don't get to go there, and you don't for sure get to stay. If you somehow, this Bible tells me, if you somehow sneak in there, the Lord will spot you, because he knows the difference between Wrangler jeans and a t-shirt and garments of white. Amen?
Amen.
Or you might have one of these, what's that, with the check on it?
Nike.
Yeah, a Nike shirt on, okay? He don't want you to go there then. All right, let's go.
For by strength shall no man prevail.
No, by your own strength, or the things of men, saving the things of men, you will not prevail. Okay? Because that's your own strength. And we all know that that isn't much. We can do nothing without. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces.
Yeah, anyone that doesn't want to get dressed for eternity is an adversary. Why did he say that? Because he says, those that are not with me are against me. So you're an adversary if you're not with him. And you want to be against the Lord? Well, you're really more stupid than I thought. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed.
Yeah, so if you're an anointed by the Lord, your horn will be exalted. Amen?
Amen.
Because he can use you. Some people are unusable. You know, if a pen is run out of ink, where do you go? You throw it in the garbage. Amen?
Amen.
You can't use it. It's worthless. And if you're not... if you don't have the ink of the Lord in you, if you're not talking or writing or doing something for him, you're worthless. Of course you get thrown away. Okay? And you say, oh, I don't know whether I want to serve a God. Get out of here, you creep. Okay, then what else?
Verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Translation, verse 1 through 11. Hannah's prayer of praising the Lord. Then Hannah prayed, quote, "My heart rejoices in the Lord!" Exclamation mark. Oh, how the Lord has blessed me! Exclamation mark. Now I have an answer for my enemies, as I delight in your deliverance. Verse 2.
See, she delights. If you're not delighting in the Lord during the day, you're in a Nike t-shirt. Okay? Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
No one is holy like the Lord! Exclamation mark. There is no one good besides you. There is no rock like our God. Verse 3. Stop acting so proud and haughty! Exclamation mark. Don't speak with such arrogance! Exclamation mark. The Lord is a God who knows your deeds, and he will judge you for what you have done. Verse 4. Those who were mighty are mighty no more, and those who were weak are now strong. Verse 5. Those who were well fed are now starving, and those who were starving are now full. The barren woman now has 7 children, but the woman with many children will have no more. Verse 6. The Lord brings both death and life. He brings some down to the grave, but raises others up. Verse 7. The Lord makes one poor and another rich. He brings one down and lifts another up. Verse 8. He lifts the poor from the dust. Yes, from a pile of ashes! Exclamation mark. He treats them like princes, placing them in seats of honor.
Yeah, you see how the Lord just rejoices for anyone that's obedient. He loves them, and he hates anyone that's just a stick in the mud. Okay? Some of these weasels actually wear Nike t-shirts and shoes. And sweatpants. Get dressed in the robes of righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Even Alamo t-shirts won't help you. Right? And what else?
For all the earth.
I'm just saying that so Nike doesn't sue me. I've been sued by experts, so I'm not worried. Okay, then what else?
For all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order. Verse 9. He will protect his godly ones, but the wicked will perish in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. Verse 10. Those who fight against the Lord will be broken. He thunders against them from heaven. The Lord judges throughout the earth. He gives mighty strength to his king. He increases the might of his anointed one. Unquote. Verse 11. Then Elkanah and Hannah returned home to Ramah without Samuel, and the boy became the Lord's helper, for he assisted Eli the priest. King James Version, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial.
They were sons of the devil, yeah. Then what else? They let the devil get into them. They never were dressing themselves for eternity. They were just doing all the things wrong, everything wrong. Okay, they weren't doing, they savored the things of men. They were having sexual relationships with the women that were coming to worship there. And they were coming not to worship, but they were coming to have sexual relationships with the sons of Eli. Then what else?
They knew not the Lord.
They didn't know the Lord. They weren't saved. Then what?
Verse 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand. Verse 14. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Verse 15. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw." Verse 16. And if any man said unto him, "Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth," then he would answer him, "Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Verse 19. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Verse 20, And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. Verse 21, And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived, and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 22, Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 23, And he said unto them, Why do ye such things?
Oh, isn't that sick? He says, Why do you do that? Don't do that. Instead of beating the tar out of them like Proverbs tells you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, of course, Proverbs haven't been written yet. But the Lord, they know better than that. Okay, then what?
For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people.
Then what?
Verse 24. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress.
Says, don't do thy don't do thy Jesus showed what he did. He took a whip. He made a whip and went in there and whipped them when they were doing things wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, next. Go ahead, what else?
Verse 25. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Translation, verse 12 through 26. Eli's wicked son, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels, who had no respect for the Lord, verse 13, or for their duties as priests. Whenever anyone offered
sacrifice. Right, see, like for instance, we're supposed to be priests and kings, okay? And if you have no desire to do the duty of a priest or a king, the king, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then you're wicked just like Eli's son, and God's going to kill you. Promise, it's a promise, amen?
Amen.
So I say, well, but I don't feel like I'm saved. It isn't a thing of feeling. You better get saved. Amen? It's the actual Spirit of the Lord must dwell in you in order for you to be in the kingdom of heaven. You must be dressed with the Spirit of the Lord, with righteousness, and you must be busy about the Father's business. All right? The Lord has to be in you. And there's nothing that will suffice other than that. Okay, then what?
Whenever anyone offered sacrifice, Eli's sons would send over a servant with a three-pronged fork, while the meat of the sacrificed animal was still boiling. Verse 14, the servant would stick the fork into the pot and demand that whatever it brought up be given to Eli's son. All the Israelites who came to worship at Shiloh were treated this way. Verse 15, sometimes the servant would come even before the animal's fat had been burned on the altar. He would demand raw meat before it had been boiled, so that it could be used for roasting. Verse 16. The man offering the sacrifice might reply, quote, take as much as you want, but the fat must first be burned, unquote. Then the servant would demand, quote, no, give it to me now, or I'll take it by force, unquote.
Yeah, well, that's when I'd have to slap his head. Amen? I'm in charge of this church. Get out. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 17. So the sin of these two young men was very serious in the Lord's eyes, in his sight, for they treated the Lord's offerings with contempt. Verse 18. Now Samuel, though only a boy, was the Lord's helper. He wore a linen tunic just like that of a priest. Verse 19. Each year his mother made a small coat for him and brought it to him when she came with her husband for the sacrifice. Verse 20. Before they returned home, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, quote, may the Lord give you other children to to take the place of this one she gave to the Lord, unquote. Verse 21, and the Lord gave Hannah 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Verse 22, now Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 23, Eli said to them, quote, I have been hearing reports from the people about the wicked things you are doing. Why do you keep sinning? Verse 24, you must stop, my sons! Exclamation mark.
Stop that. Stop that. Yeah, what else? Okay, what else?
The reports
I'd
hear...
I'd have to butcher his rump. Okay, what else?
The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good. Verse 25, if someone sins against another person, God can mediate for the guilty party. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede? Unquote. But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father, for the Lord was already planning to put them to death. Verse 26, meanwhile, as young Samuel grew taller...
So if you don't listen to the Lord and the people of the Lord, God is already preparing to put you to death. And you can see one person right after the other that the Lord has put to death. Ed Mick, Risha, Kathy Wiley, just one after the other, just died because they were planning, just doing the exact opposite of what the Lord said to do. And you'll see many people that are living in the church right now, they'll be put to death. Because they keep hearing the gospel, but they never begin dressing themselves up for eternity, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. They savor too much the things of men, and not at all the things of the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Meanwhile, as young Samuel grew taller, he also continued to gain favor with the Lord and with the people. King James Version, verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Verse 28, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people.
Yeah, anybody that would honor their sons or their daughters more than the Lord is not worthy of God to take his life too. He took Eli's sons' lives, and he took Eli. You cannot honor anyone above the Lord. And most people honor themselves. They just don't want to be married to the Lord. So they don't attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, they're like just hogs, chaff, goats. And what else?
Verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed.
Yeah, those are, these words, lightly esteemed. That means you're going to be killed and sent to hell. You know, the Lord doesn't use buzzwords. He just says lightly esteemed means watch out. Amen?
Yeah.
You have to, you know, people say it. Today you don't say, well, I esteem you lightly. Just say, so what? But you know, the Lord says it, watch out. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, then what?
Verse 31. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. Verse 32, And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. Verse 33, And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes, and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. Verse 34, And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. Verse 35, And I will raise me up a faithful priest, that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever.
That would be Samuel, but he didn't say who it was, because these people are so weak they probably would have tried to kill Samuel. Then what?
Verse 36, And it shall come to pass, that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread.
Yep, right. Because if you're not walking with the Lord, you're not going to get anything. And then what else?
Translation, verse 27 through 36.
You know, there's going to be a lot of starvation in the world to people that are not of the Lord. They say they're of the Lord, but they're not in the Spirit, and they are going to not want to take the mark of the beast, but they're going to starve to death. Then there's those that walk in the Spirit, that God will lead them to where the food is and the water, and where lodging is, because God knows how to feed and clothe his people. But the phonies, they're going to be left behind, starved to death. Then what else?
A warning for Eli's family.
Okay, this is translation. Then what?
One day a prophet came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. Quote, Didn't I reveal myself to your ancestors when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt? Verse 28. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all his relatives to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly garments as he served me. And I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you priests. Verse 29. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you honor your sons more than me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people! Exclamation mark. Verse 30. Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says, The terrible things you are doing cannot continue! Exclamation mark. I had promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor only those who honor me, and I will despise those who despise me. Verse 31. I will put an end to your family, so it will no longer serve as my priests. All the members of your family will die before their time. None will live to a ripe old age. Verse 32. You will watch with envy as I pour out prosperity on the people of Israel, but no members of your family will ever live out their days. Verse 33. Those who are left alive will live in sadness and grief, and their children will die a violent death. Verse 34. And to prove that what I have said will come true, I will cause your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to die on the same day! Exclamation mark. Verse 35. Then I will raise up a faithful priest, who will serve me and do what I tell him to do. I will bless his descendants, and his family will be priests to my anointed kings forever. Verse 36. Then all of your descendants will bow before his descendants, to be begging for money and food. Quote, Please, they will say, Give us jobs among the priests, so we will have enough to eat, unquote.
No, you're just going to have sex with the women that come in there. Let them put you in around the church, okay? And you're going to, you know, do these same things with the offerings that you did before. I don't even want you in or near or around the church. Okay, then what?
Commentary, chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. This beautiful song of praise provides a model for the mother of Jesus, Mary's song of thanksgiving, in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55. 2, verse 1. Her whole personality is involved in praising the Lord. Heart, the very center of being. Horn has to do with strength. Quote, "I smile," unquote, is literally, "My mouth is open wide." In Psalm 35, verse 21 and 25, the figure of speech is used for defeating enemies by swallowing them. 2, verse 5. This is a reference to Hannah and her adversary, Peninnah. The Lord can take circumstances and turn them completely around, really as he did for Hannah. 2, verse 6 through 8. Hannah can rejoice because she is in the hands of a sovereign God who finally determines the status of one's life. 2, verse 10. Here is the first mention of the Messiah, Hebrew for, quote, "anointed one," unquote, in conjunction with the idea of a king.
And if you're a member of his body, he anoints you also. All right, then what?
2, verse 11. Samuel learns the function of a priest under Eli, whom he served personally. 2, verse 12. Quote, "they did not know the Lord," unquote, means that they did not fear or obey him.
The reason I didn't pray on this one, because I prayed yesterday for this chapter, amen, that the Lord would anoint it, amen?
Amen.
We weren't able to do it because something else happened. Okay, what else?
2, verse 13 through 16. Demanding the meat before it was offered as sacrifice was robbing God. 2, verse 18. Linen ephod is not the elaborate ephod mentioned in connection with specific guidance from the Lord. Verse 28. In chapter 14, verse 3, but a simple apron or loincloth worn by those priests attending to the sacred duties. 2, verse 21, God repeatedly visited Hannah with a miracle in that without him she was still barren. 2, verse 22, according to chapter 4, verse 15.
But when she got married to the Lord, amen, when she got up there and got a hold of him, then everything happened the way she wanted it. Amen.
Amen.
You have to marry the Lord. Okay? Otherwise, what are you doing at the marriage supper of the Lamb? You don't want to be married down here, so all of a sudden you want to get married up there? Too late. Too late, too late, too late. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
According to chapter 4, verse 15, Eli was 98 years old when the ark was captured by the Philistines. Women who assembled were those who served in many of the menial tasks at the entrance to the tabernacle. 2, verse 25. Quote, "the Lord desired to kill them," or, quote, "the Lord was resolved to kill them," unquote, because they had gone beyond the limit of God's tolerance. They went too far. This is a severe example of God's justice being mediated in personal history, a preview to his ultimate and just judgment at the end of this age. 2, verse 26. Note the contrast between the wickedness of Eli's sons and the righteousness of the priest God was raising up. Quote, "grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and men," unquote, is the same statement made of the boy Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. 2, verse 27. There is no clue as to who the man of God may have been. Quote, "house of your father," unquote, refers to Aaron and the priests from his household. 2, verse 29, quote, "kick at my sacrifice," unquote, is to treat with contempt. Eli as high priest and father is responsible for the sins of his sons. 2, verse 35, the priesthood passed completely from Eli's line when Solomon removed Abiathar, a descendant of Eli, and replaced him with Zadok, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 27 and 35. The prophecy is ultimately messianic, however, pointing to Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate faithful priest and, quote, "my anointed forever," unquote, combining the offices of priest and king. See Psalm 110 and Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6, Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Samuel. As soon as Samuel was weaned from Hannah, who had cried out to God for a child, she gave him back to God. Samuel learned the various duties of the priesthood from Eli, Israel's high priest. During his lifetime, Samuel served as a priest, a prophet, and Israel's last judge. He was a godly man who transformed the office of judge from that of a crisis military leader to a stable position of leadership, just short of kingship. But Samuel was human and had his blind spots as well. When the people asked to have a king like other countries, Samuel took this request as rejection of his own leadership.
Instead of rejection of the Lord. Say, what do you want some king for when God is your king? You should have taught them. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
What Samuel didn't hear was the people's complaint that his sons, whom he had appointed as judges in his place, quote, accepted bribes and perverted justice, unquote. Chapter 8, verse 3. The people hadn't rejected Samuel, they had rejected God's leadership and the leadership of Samuel's corrupt sons. Perhaps Samuel was deaf to the people's complaints about his sons because he was blind to their corrupt ways. We often develop blind spots in dysfunctional situations within our family. If Samuel had heard the people's complaints and corrected the problem, things might have been different. When we feel rejection, it should be a signal to evaluate carefully what is being said. In spite of his family issues, however, Samuel was a great man of faith and one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Note Hannah's prayer of rejoicing. Quote, my heart rejoices in the Lord, exclamation mark. Oh, how the Lord has blessed me, exclamation mark, unquote. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Yeah, some people never thank the Lord for that at all. Amen?
Amen.
You got salvation, healing, victory, and prosperity. You never known what it's like to miss a meal. Amen?
Amen.
You have plenty of food, clothing, roof over your head. And the majority of the people in the world don't have that. And you don't ever thank the Lord for what you have. So eventually you're going to know great and horrible want. Because you will not serve the Lord. Then what else? That's certain people in this church. The righteous ones, God will always take care of them. Then what?
She praised the one responsible for her deliverance, God himself. He had delivered her from the trauma of infertility and gave her a son. After Hannah gave Samuel into God's service, he blessed her with other children. Chapter 2, verse 21. This certainly would have lightened the burden of seeing her firstborn son only once a year. 2, verse 19. Obedience was surely difficult, even painful, but it was for the good of Hannah and Samuel, and ultimately for the good of all Israel. Obedience to God, as painful as it might seem to some people at times, will ultimately, if we are obedient, bring us joy. It will also bring blessings to the people close to us, and give them and all of us eternal life, if we all listen. 2 verse 12 through 17. Eli's sons sinned greatly by treating God's offerings with contempt. They failed to realize that the sacrifices were God's provision for the people's recovery from sin. They stole meat from the sacrifices for their own personal use, rather than for their healing and purification.
Yeah, they had to be burnt offerings. Amen?
Amen.
No, don't burn them. You know, I want to eat them, you know. You follow? Okay, then what?
God has provided for our recovery by giving the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. If we treat Christ with contempt by refusing to follow his word for our fullness of faith and our recovery, we are actually more guilty than Eli's sons. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 29. Let us show proper respect for the compassion, love, and power that God has shown us and given us through Christ, exclamation mark. Let us
Christ, who is the Word of God. In other words, show vigilance and diligence and zeal to God's word, because God's word is God, and God's word is his son, Jesus. Okay? That's how you serve God, is you do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Let us wholeheartedly do what the Lord has told us to do, and what he has given us the provision in our spirits and bodies to do, so that we can be blessed, as the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy tells us that we will, and that we're not cursed, like the same chapter tells us that we will be, if we don't pay attention to what the Lord says, and we don't do what he tells us to do.
Right, we have to apply what the word, what Jesus says, to our lives, and we have to show that light to the world. If we're the same as men, if we savor the things of men rather than the things of God, then you're going to spend eternity in hell on the lake of fire. And you can look sad or scared. That doesn't do any good at all. You have to just make up your mind that if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to change. Amen?
Yeah.
You have to become born of the Spirit. And if you don't claim that you don't understand that, I don't want to receive that. I don't want to receive that you're that stupid. Okay? If that's what you say you are, well then, that's no excuse at the judgment of our God. You either do, or you don't. Amen?
Amen.
Either you do or don't. You do or die. So think about these things, meditate on them day and night, pray always, because this is where your power is coming from. Thank and praise the Lord, because the power of God, the glory of the Lord, is when you pray, and when you praise and thank the Lord is your strength. Amen?
Amen.
His power comes down. And until chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, this is Tony Alama, who is your pastor, or really wants to be, is saying God bless you and praise the Lord.